Well, it's about that time, people. It's August. And it's time to start asking, well, thank you. I'm going to put it up here, okay? It's time to start asking, how's your list? I mean, you know, the list that you put together from October to April of all the things you're going to do in the summertime. How's your list? Yeah, did you check everything off? You only got a month. August always feels intense to me for that reason, because I flip that calendar and go, oh no, I know what's next. And so August to me, it starts like prioritizing. So I didn't fertilize this spring, maybe I'll fertilize this fall. All of the things that are harvesting, I know enough to harvest them the day I think, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. Like I know that you guys have taught me that, because that's when the moose come. You know, that the day that you go, oh, those look about ready, I'll get them tomorrow. That night is when the moose comes and takes one bite out of every single head of lettuce and cabbage that's in your garden. Seriously, one bite, right in the middle. I know this, right? So now is the time when I'm trying to prioritize. I'm trying to figure out what needs to happen now so that I can be ready for what's coming next. And I always kind of think, you know, if there was just one more month, if I just had a little bit more time, then I could get everything done, and then I would be fine. But I don't know about you, but I would procrastinate more if I had one more month. Or maybe that's not your issue. Maybe it's your bank account. I mean, the summer is the time when the electricity bill is not quite as high, and there's usually not a fuel delivery or one you have to worry about. Maybe it's the time when you save up for what's coming this summer, or this W word that I won't say. But then there's still the regular bills that you have to pay. The phone and the groceries and the mortgage, and you still have an electricity bill that's way too high. But maybe if we just had a few extra dollars. I mean, a $3,000 PFD sounds really, really nice. I'd be happy with that. But I think that's not quite focused on the right place. $1,600 is still lovely. But we keep thinking that maybe if we just have a little bit more of that money, then we can finally take a breath. We'll know that the ends will meet. We can kick back and relax and not worry about things. I don't know about you, but when I get a little extra money, I can always think of a lot of fun ways to spend it. And it probably wouldn't sit in my bank account too long. Or maybe you struggle with something different. Maybe you are searching for more time with your family, or you wish you had more space to spread out in, or you really wanted to hunt, but your old ATV is starting to fall apart and you need a new ATV so that you can get those caribou. Maybe you are struggling and fighting with that new phone that has enough battery to charge somebody else's phone when you just put it on there. Like, I could use that extra battery life on my phone. It doesn't matter what we get. It seems like we're always looking for what's next. We're always looking for more. And Jesus' parable today from Luke 12 could really easily call us to keep first things first, to fix your priorities, to quit looking for more, to quit hunting for all those things, and to keep that value always in front, because our lives are short. We never know when that's going to be demanded of us. And to spend our time on the things that aren't temporary, but to spend it on our legacy, on the things that are going to last, the things that are going to matter. It's a good reminder for our lives. And it kind of feels kind of doable, right? I mean, we can each sit down and figure out where our time and our money goes and make decisions that'll change it. I mean, for some of us, it's uninstalling a couple apps from your phone so you're not playing games all the time. Some of us, it's our spending, and maybe we can cut back on a coffee or a movie trip or that extra little chocolate bar at the store. We can all find ways to cut back. But notice the focus of that message. It's about what we do. It's about making sure that everything on the outside looks good. How we behave, how things look to others. If we've got our ducks in a row, so that maybe somebody else can say, wow, good job, I want to be like you. But God is always one that cares more about what is going on in our hearts than what it looks like on the outside. You can change all those things. You can delete those apps from your phone. You can ignore the TV show that you really don't care about, but you find yourself clicking onto anyway. You can do all those things, but nothing inside you would change. The story isn't about what looks like on the outside. It's about what looks like on the inside. And unfortunately, on the inside is a rotting core. Because here's this guy. And he has this abundant harvest. And he has these huge barns. And what it looks like is that God is blessing him. And everything is going well and wonderful for him. And he sits back and he goes, what should I do? I mean, if you look at this, 11 times he talks about himself in this little sentence to himself. He has this wonderful abundance and his core shows through. What should I do? Because I have this excellent harvest. I know what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and I will build some bigger ones so that I can have enough goods laid up for many years. And I will say to my soul, soul, you've got plenty. Eat, drink, relax, be merry. It's a life that is flipped inward on himself. But hey, buddy, how about those guys that you hired to help bring in that harvest? Because it was so huge, there's no way he could have done it by himself. Hey, buddy, how about a little trickle down to the people that are doing the work? What about the people that are gleaning in your field? The stuff you're supposed to leave on the edges for the people who don't have food and they're picking it up? Maybe you could leave a few extra rows so that they can have enough. Hey, buddy, how about the God who's the one who made the dirt and the sun and the rain that brought out that crop? Can you even pause for a second and thank that God? This is how good, normal people get turned in on themselves. When good things come, we don't pause to think about the we. We think about the me. What do I get? What do I want? How can I be comfortable? And after telling this parable, Jesus says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Because greed isn't just about money. And it's not just about stuff. It's not just about a car or a Nintendo Switch or a bigger house. It's not just about having a bank account that is fat or investment portfolio that's going to last you till you're 140. It's not about greed is not just money or stuff. Greed can be about power. Greed can be about having respect or influence. Greed can be about wanting all the good things just for you and your kind of people, and so you will easily target anybody else. And then we have stories like yesterday. And because there's little ears, you know those stories from yesterday. In a Walmart parking lot. That is greed. That is greed for power and for fear and a greed for wanting to put others underneath us. Because what greed does is makes us not see one another. It makes us see ways, it makes us see each other as stepping stones to something else. When we are focused on the me, we lose the we. We forget that there are other humans as part of our story as well. And God has something else in mind. Not to see each other as stepping stones, but to see each other as a shared story. And it is God who takes this focus of me and is able to change this rotten core into something that looks at others and says, we are beloved of God. And we will work for peace. Greed isn't just about us getting more. It's about us recognizing who is the one that makes the changes and going to that God in search of peace and in search of hope. Because God is the only one that can take us centered on ourselves and turn us outward towards someone else. And it's not something that we do. It is a way of being in the world. It is a way of finding contentment and peace with what we have. And still making those changes if we need to, of that bank account or that time, and still making those changes because who we are is not influenced by what's around us. Because God is making our core into something that is beautiful, into something that is whole, and something that brings healing wherever we go. Because that is where the legacy is. Not always in the work of our hands, but in the work of our heart, of who we touch, of who we influence, of the ways that our peace, because of Christ, can live out into peace for others in this world. You are not alone in doing the right things. It is God within you, always working to turn you from me outward to saving and serving the we. May the peace of God, which goes past all of our understanding and our capabilities, may that peace keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. If you are able, I invite you to stand. We'll